Why be a Lutheran? I mean, really, I'm seriously asking the question. And if you're listening to this, you may not be a Lutheran, so that's fair. But this is a Lutheran radio station, broadcast out of the International Center, the headquarters of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, one of two major Lutheran bodies in the United States. There's some other major ones as well. They're minor major, but they're big too. But you know, I don't want to dismiss them or anything. But I mean, my point is, why be a Lutheran? What's the point? Why walk around with the baggage of a name like Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, right? Wouldn't it be easier to call ourselves like the really cool hip church, or like Jesus loves you, this is a great place, everyone's happy here church? Like, wouldn't that work better? Why have this conservative edge to who we are? Well, what's the point of that? And don't hear me talking politics. Now, I'm not talking politics. I'm not talking social reform or social agendas. I'm talking, why are we the Missouri Synod? Like, why do we exist as separate from those other Lutherans that are out there? That is what Charles Porterfield Krauth is really trying to address in his work, The Conservative Reformation and Its Theology. Now, let me just translate those words for you so they don't sound so old school and ostentatious. What he means by that is the Bible is true church that stands on real knowledge about God. Yeah. And he goes to great pains to distinguish that idea. Why be a Lutheran? Because the Bible's true and we want to know what God really says because it's such good news. He goes to great lengths to distinguish that from the other Reformation. And this is kind of important as we head into this, or we're well into it now, the year in which we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. It's kind of important that we maybe pay attention to what this thing was that shook the world. I mean, there's a reason that even when, like, Time magazine comes out with the most influential people in history, Martin Luther shows up. It's not because of his preaching of the gospel, at least according to what they say. Yeah, now we would say, well, that's what did it. But it's because you just can't know what happened in history without dealing with this Reformation thing, which for Luther himself, and so for us today, I mean, this is the reason to be a Lutheran, not to follow the man, but to cling to that core nugget of what he believed the Bible said, was to believe that the church lives from, breathes from, returning again and again and again to the truth of the gospel of Jesus' work for us, for you. And that it's in our nature to lose that, but that Christianity reforms us. It brings us back to it. As opposed to, at that time, there was another Reformation that happened that really didn't look to reform at all. It looked to, well, to destroy. And Krauth will call this the Radical Reformation. And that's because Luther and his compatriots, they called them the Radicals because they came along and they didn't just say, hey, let's let the Bible correct these errors. They basically said, let's throw everything out and just do what the Bible says. And this led to all manner of chaos, even to the level of like new prophets arising, claiming that the God would show up to lead the peasants in a battle, like a final battle war against the princes of Europe. And oh man, it led to all manner of catastrophe. There's great history out there on that. But the point being here, why are we Missouri Synod today? What do we exist for? It's this idea that the church did not vanish from the earth just because the Middle Ages got a few things a bit honky. But the church has been here all along, and that our task, our consistent task, is to keep going back to that truth that's been here all along, as well as, please don't mistake me, as well as to confess that truth, which there's a lot of talk about mission these days. I'm all for mission because mission is confessing. To speak again, to same say the truth that was once said to you. Someone tells you Jesus died for you, and then you say Jesus died for you to somebody else. But what you don't want to do is radically change that message, right? You want to conserve the actual message of Jesus dying for you. Our little bit here I'm going to give you from Krauth's work is, again, back on distinguishing between these two realities. To be conservative versus not to be liberal, that's a political idea, but to be conservative versus being radical. and that this is about how we know who God is. Do you believe God is revealed in Scripture in such a way that it's steadfast that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Or is he always doing a new thing in such a way that you can't really recognize what he's doing? Croth now. He says, conservatism is opposed to radicalism both in the estimate of wrong and the mode of getting rid of it. By that he means that when you are a biblical conservative and you come into a church, congregation, church body, doesn't matter, and you know that things need to be reformed, they need to be fixed, brought back to what the Bible says, you will oppose the radical view both in how you approach that wrong and in how you try to deal with that wrong. Sober judgment and sober means characterize conservatism. Sober, sobriety, thoughtfulness, carefulness, right? You got to think of Jesus and his disciples when he tells them the parable about the wheat and the tares, the one who sows the tares out amongst the field. And they say, can we go out and rip up those tares? And Jesus says, no, you'll kill the wheat too. Careful, be sober, be careful in this judgment. That which claims to be reformatory yet is not conservative is sectarian, Krauth says. That which claims to be conservative and is not reformatory is stagnation and corruption. So those are opposed to each other, right? If you claim to reform and fix the church but don't do so with sober judgment, carefully, slowly, not radically, then you're going to divide the church. You're going to splinter us. By schism rent asunder, by heresy distressed, as the great hymn The Church's One Foundation sings. And yet, there's the other side of this. If you try to be conservative without ever reforming, if you try to just be traditionalistic, to just hold to what is and never deal with the decay that's sure to come, well, then you have stagnation and corruption, right? So it's not like you can't do anything or that the goal is just to hold on tight with your fists clenched to the present moment. The light bulbs are going to go out. The dust is going to get on the pews. The organ might stop working. Yeah? And you must reform. You must keep pushing back to why we're there. True Catholicity, he says, is conservatism. True Catholicity. By that, he doesn't mean Roman, right? He doesn't mean under the Pope. He means the universal church, in its essence, seeks to conserve. To conserve what? The Word of God among us. We know it's going to do its work with or without us. But there's no guarantee that if we just kind of throw caution to the wind, it's going to keep doing its work among us. That's why we pray, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? That these things might be done among us. Protestantism, he says, now he's talking about not the fact that we as Lutherans protested against Rome, but what that movement has become. And he's talking 100 plus years ago, right? But what that movement became is reformatory. So Protestantism seeks to continue to reform. The danger would be that it would do that without holding to Catholicity, without also seeking to conserve. And the radical Reformation, it tries to reform without conserving. And so what does it do? It just ends up tearing down. These are complementary ideas, Catholicism and Protestantism, if you understand them correctly. The universal history of the church that we all share and the need to constantly be brought back to Scripture alone. They complement each other. The church problem is to attain a Protestant Catholicity or a Catholic Protestantism. Now, the danger, of course, is that word Catholic's been stolen from us, right? It if you hear it, you tend to think it means the Romans. And God bless you, Romans. You do some good things, but we disagree on a few pretty major things like justification, right? And so we would like to protest against that and bring you back to what we think the actual Catholic teaching is on the matter. Anyhow, Krauth continues, Reformation is the means by which conservatism of the good that is and progress to the good yet to be won is secured, right? So Reformation, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, you got to hear this. We are Reformation embodied in the present is a mixture, a balance, a tension between conserving the good that's already here while also seeking to progress toward the good that we can still win. I'd be willing to submit to you that many of the fights in your congregation, many of the fights in our church body, whenever they happen, they're about these two things being against each other rather than seeking to be with each other. These two ideas, that we must both conserve and progress, and that is to reform. The church is to hold to Reformation as the instrument of progress. Over against the abuses of a separatistic and one-sided progressiveness, the Church is to see to it that her Reformation maintains the due reverence for history, that sobriety of tone, that patience of spirit, and that moderation of manner which are involved in conservatism. The good that has been is necessary to the safety of the good that is to be. If the foundation were removed, the true course would not be to make a new foundation, but to find the old one and lay it again. But the foundation never has been wholly lost. That we need the past. It teaches us. That's why we're going to do Historically Speaking later today, because you can't know where you're going unless you know where you've been from. If you tear down your house and tear out the foundation, you can't build a new house. Yeah, you'd build it on the sand. Jesus says, don't do that. Right, so you want to go and seek the good foundation. The Reformation, as Christian, accepts the old foundation. As reformatory, it removed the wood, hay, and stubble. As conservative, it carefully separated, guarded, and retained the gold, silver, and precious stones. The additions of pious human hands befitting the foundation and temple which was to be reared upon it. Now there he's talking about the Lutheran Reformation at its heart. It's not just Luther, it's all of the men and women who worked with him, right? They sought to get rid of the hay and the stubble that had been piled on top of the foundation, which is the rock, that cornerstone that is Christ, but they didn't throw out the gems when they found them, those meet and salutary works or words that really pointed back to the foundation and built well upon it. Rome, Krauth says, had accumulated greatly and given up nothing, till the foundation upheld little but perishing human traditions and the precious things that were lost in the heap of rubbish, right? So one of the things that the old church did was it just kept gathering. It never really discerned what was bad. And so there were gems there. They still are there. They just tended to be caught up in a pile of rubble. So you're looking for a diamond in a haystack, as it were. The revolutionary spirit of the radical reform, Krauth says, proposed to leave nothing but the foundation, to sweep from it everything which had been built upon it. The conservative, equally accepting the foundation which has been laid once for all, proposed to leave on it everything precious, pure, and beautiful. The one proposed to tear down the temple, the other to purify it, and to replace its weak and decayed portions with solid rock. Why be a Lutheran? Why be a Missouri Synod Lutheran? That's it right there. Because we believe there is a difference between looking at what is and assuming from the start, it's all bad, get rid of it, start over. And instead say, no, there's much good here. Let's see what we can reform. Let's see if we can remove the dross, polish it up a bit, and keep pressing toward the good. Let's not let it decay. Let's not stagnate. But neither let us pretend that we have no past. And so in forgetting our past, run the great risk of losing our future. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, back in just a minute with our New Testament reading, getting ready for the daily lectionary study at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. You definitely want to stick around.